So as I was studying, I was kind of like, okay, so, you know, the end of Colossians is the salutation. And I was like, Lord, is that what you want us to teach on tonight? Or what do you want to do? And again, always, like when we're teaching, we have a little freedom because I'm not a pastor and I don't lead this church. And so I don't have to teach chapter by chapter, book by book. And that Pastor John does such a great job of that, praise God. So we, you know, sometimes we can jump around a little bit. And I feel like the Lord really had me focus on one thing as I was reading. So you can turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4, but we might move around a bit. The title of this, it's more of a devotional. If you don't have them, I'm going to read them to you, so don't worry. It's more of a devotional than a Bible study, but I pray that the Lord teaches you as he taught me. So the title of this devotional is What's Got You Chained? So what's got you chained? And if you look, you have a little poem on your by your plate, and we're going to read that. It's by Amy Carmichael, and it says, Father of spirits, this is my earnest plea. I bring again and yet again to thee. Fulfill me now with love that I may know a daily inflow, daily overflow. For love, my Lord was crucified. With cords of love, he bound me to his side. Pour through me now, I yield myself to thee. O love that led my Lord to Calvary, by Amy Carmichael. Let's pray. We already prayed. We're going to pray again. Heavenly Father, God, we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can't pray too much, right? So this book of Colossians, it's full of such exhortations, isn't it? We've really learned what it is to be complete and to be sufficient in Christ. He is our sufficiency, right? I feel like that book has really taught us that. And when we know that he's our sufficiency and how complete we are in him, his peace then can rule in our hearts, right? No matter what we're going through, we have the peace of God that rules in our hearts because we are sufficient and complete in him, and I'm so grateful for that. We realize that we depend on him, and that life surrendered to him, it leads to sanctification, right? We become more and more like him. The more we surrender, the more we let go of our life, the more sanctified, the more like him we become, which is such a beautiful picture. He kind of weeds through all the things we hold on to, you know, and he's so sweet and so kind that he gently is prying our fingers apart. Like, you don't need, that's not good for you. You don't need that, right? And I love the sweetness and the tenderness of the Lord. It's just always just beckons our hearts to want to please him and to want to obey him and to want to draw near to him and be more like him, right? Because he's so tender and so kind towards us. When he takes from us, he always gives back, right? What we need, what's good for us, what's good for the kingdom, what's good for this world is to see that we are like Jesus. And that's what he does. And when that happens, when he pries those things from us, right, we just press in, we lean more fully on him. And do you ever just think of just like, just laying on Jesus? Remember at the Lord's Supper, you know, John the disciple is just laying on the chest of Jesus. And don't you ever just want to press in, just lean on him and lay on him? And sometimes he even makes you physically feel like you're doing that, right? And as we're being sanctified and we're going through painful things, he's so good to make sure his presence is so near, right? We know that he draws near to the brokenhearted, right? You've experienced that, right? I know I've experienced some of the most broken times in my life have been the sweetest times of my just relationship with the Lord. So as we walk this life of faith, sometimes, though, we find ourselves chained to things, right? We're constantly giving things over, but sometimes we let things chain us. And it's at that point that we have to go back and we have to surrender those things to the Lord. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. What's got us chained, right? And I thought, sometimes chains, I think of it like a diet, right? It's like, we're on this diet, we're doing really good, right? We're like, I have eaten all good stuff. Leslie was talking about her kale smoothie before she got here. It's like, I'm doing good, I'm on this kale smoothie diet or whatever it is, you know? And then that bag of Cheetos is right there, right? Like somebody brought this bag of Cheetos to your house. And you're like, all right, I'm just going to have like 3 Cheetos, right? And you start snacking on these Cheetos, and suddenly, like, you're stained orange. Like, your hands are completely orange. You've got that orange around your lips, like when you were 3 years old, because you've been licking all the Cheeto dust from around your lips, and you're stained orange, right? And you got to get rid of that bag, right? You got to throw that bag away. You got to wash your hands, wash your face. You can't be chained to that Cheeto bag any longer, right? You got to go back to the kale. And that's sometimes what we're like. We need to go back to the Word of God. I cannot stay chained to whatever that distraction is, whatever that thing is that's pulling me away from the Lord. And sometimes they feel real in you. Sometimes you want to stay chained to them. Sometimes we want to stay chained to sadness or discouragement. I don't know why, but we're prone to want to stay chained to that. And God's like, let me pry your fingers away from that. It's so beautiful here when you press into me. I'm just going to take that away and pry that away from you. My gentleness is calling you. Will you just let me take those chains away? And when I was reading the salutation, you know, Paul mentions so many times, or so often in this portion of scripture, the people that ministered to him and the people that he ministered to with. And I thought, like, how sweet is that? And so many of your faces were popping in my head when he was mentioning those people. And I was like, oh my gosh, on the way here, I was like, thank you, Lord, for this person. Lord, I pray that this person would come tonight just because I want to see him so badly. You know, it's fun to be called alongside you ladies in ministry and to pray with you and to fight this battle and to not have to be a woman alone in this world. And I think how sweet it is. So my salutation is thank you for ministering alongside so well. But the Lord, while I was studying, really got me caught up on what has me chained or what has you chained. And in the end of his salutation, Paul says, remember my chains. Remember my chains. And we know that's physical, right? We're going to start in verse 7 in chapter 4. And just read through this salutation briefly. And it says, Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. They will make known to you all things which are happening here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a zeal, a great zeal for you, and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphis and the church that is in his house. Now, when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salutation by my own hand, Paul. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. And one thing you can really learn here, if you still have some children to name, there's some great names here. So keep these in mind when you're searching for names. But anyway, I've reflected on this study a lot. And so again, the question that I feel like the Holy Spirit kept bringing up to my own heart and to ask you as well is, what has us chained? Are my chains like the message of Paul? Are they the message of salvation, of hope, of love, of freedom from this world? That was his message, right? Or are my chains things that bind me to this world? Are they worry? Are they anxiety? Are they condemnation? Are they sin? Are they discouragement? Which one is it? I don't often share anything from my journal, but today I feel like the Lord asked me to share this. So when I woke up this morning, here's what I wrote. So it's brave to share your journal, but so today, this is what I wrote to the Lord. So today, I'm asking the ladies, what's got you chained? I sit here in conviction with chains of my own, as if I am most comfortable with shackles. These chains aren't spiritual, like the Apostle Paul's. They're carnal. They hold me down from experiencing the abundant life that is found in full surrender to Jesus Christ. And I wrote the word condemnation, and I put, you are a liar. And Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And the shackles loose a little. Doubt, and I put, you're wrong, because Psalm 139:17-18 says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. And the shackles loose a little bit more. And then I wrote loneliness. I said, go away. You're not true. I said, Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's where the freedom comes, right? And lastly, I wrote discouragement. And I put, he is with me. Romans 5:5 says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And I put, I am free indeed with him. And that is true. We can be bound in Jesus, which gives you absolute freedom, right? We can be bound, tied to Jesus, or we could be bound to this old life, this carnal life that ties us down, that burdens us, that is hopeless. We have the choice. Even as Christians, we have the choice. Our salvation surely is not snatched from us, right? But what is? Our joy, right? Our joy is snatched from us. When we let those binds, those shackles drop us down, our joy is gone. And that is so sad, because the joy of the Lord is beautiful. We have this hope before us. And why are we choosing shackles when we have this hope? And so I thought, I want us to be honest before the Lord. And if you feel comfortable, I would never ask you to do something that didn't make you feel comfortable. But if you want to feel, if you feel led, say it in front of your sisters as well so we can pray for each other. I just want us to all just bow our heads right now. And even if it's just one word that makes you feel tied to this world, I just want you to throw it out there and give it to the Lord. Because James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So whatever it is that you feel like is shackling you, tying you down tonight, just throw that word out there. And we're going to pray and we're going to give that to the Lord. God, help us to be brave and to get rid of these things that bind us, Lord, to this world. Lord, I pray for my sisters. God, I pray, Lord, that anything, Lord, that's burdening them, that's causing them to not have the fullness of you, God, I pray that they would lay it down now, God. And God, I pray for just total freedom tonight, Lord, from the things that bind us, God, that we may fully know your joy, God, fully surrender to your will, Lord, being only bound by our calling, Lord, but never bound to this world, Lord. Thank you for the courage, Lord, of these ladies, Lord. Thank you, God. So literal chains, we know that literal chains, right? They're like thick metal rings that are put around the wrists or ankles, and they prevent you from escaping, right? That's a literal chain. But figurative chains are anything that binds us from enjoying God. That's what figurative chains are, and that's what we struggle with. When Paul wrote Philippians, he also was bound, right? We know that. He wrote, that's another prison epistle. In Philippians 1:19, it says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell, for I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress of joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." So what has us chained? We gave those things to the Lord. Are we often like Jonah? Are we filled sometimes with wrath for people and caring about their souls? If we're honest, sometimes we are. Does God have to be so drastic with us? Does he have to cause us to have to spend time in the grossness of the belly of a whale so that we can get right with him and so that we can have a passion for other people? Do we have to spend time in the belly of the whale to have that passion for other souls? Sometimes, yeah, we do, but that chains us. We don't want that chain. Are we like Samson sometimes? Are we so consumed with this worldly flesh? Are we willing to lay down our intimacy with God for this lustful fulfillment that all it does is lead to blindness and death? If we're honest, we are sometimes like Samson. Are we sometimes like Sarah, that when she heard God giving Abraham the promise of a child, laughed bitterly? Didn't she? Can we be like that? Can we be like that? Do we think God's promises are not going to come to fruition? It's not going to have. Do we laugh bitterly when we think and believe that lie, that it's not actually going to happen? Can we laugh bitterly? Do we think that because God's timetable is not the same as ours, that it's not going to happen? Do you know tonight that God does not live within time? He doesn't live within time. So why we have this timetable constantly on God is a mystery, I'm sure, to him. Why? Don't laugh bitterly. Do we doubt all the revelation, the truth that's set before us, the intimacy of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, like Peter did at the crucifixion? Do we do that? And yet still, Jesus still willingly went there, even though the doubt, even though everyone fled. Do we do that? Are we like Peter sometimes? Are we like Rachel when we dwell on what we don't have? Do we think, oh, if I only had that, I have all these things, but if I only had that? Do we question God's goodness? Do we question his faithfulness? Maybe not out loud, but in our hearts, do we do that? Yeah, if we're honest, sometimes we do that, because sometimes we're not okay with the sanctification process that he has for each and every one of us personally, right? He designed it specifically for you and for me because he individually loves you and is passionate about you. But do we sometimes think that you're not good, God, because you didn't do it the way I wanted? Sometimes we think that, right? And not for a minute do I bring up these people's shortcomings without having fingers pointed back at myself, knowing that I'm just like them and so grateful for these Bible characters, thinking, "Guy, these are people that we get to spend eternity with. Like, I can't wait to meet all of these people. And I don't want to make fun of them or mock them or criticize them because I'm just like them," right? I point them out because something had them chained. Something had them chained. Lack of love, selfishness, greed, discouragement, bitterness, fear of man, covetousness, dissatisfaction with God, right? It chained them. And so we have to ask ourselves again, what has us chained? We have to get rid of it. You see, Jonah, Samson, Sarah, Peter, Rachel, and everyone else in the Bible are just like us, aren't they? They're just like us. But do they stay chained? We know they didn't, right? So why do we want to stay chained? What if Peter would have just stayed washed up, stayed chained after his epic failure at the crucifixion? I mean, Peter blew it badly, didn't he? What if he would have stayed chained? What if he just would have curled up in a ball and said, "I am unusable by God. I am washed up. I can't do it. I've made the ultimate betrayal." But he didn't make the ultimate betrayal, because what's the ultimate betrayal, right? It's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, right? He didn't do the ultimate betrayal. What he did was terrible, and we probably would have all done the same exact thing that Peter did, right? But he allowed God's forgiveness, and how sweet. Back to the tenderness of Jesus, how sweet was it that Jesus told Mary, "Go tell Peter," right? When she saw him at the tomb, "Go tell Peter," right? So sweet and so tender of Jesus. He didn't stay chained to that, and we can't stay chained to that. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we can confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And it doesn't always have to be sin that binds us either. We're not always chained because of our sin, but often it will turn in to sin. Look at Joseph, for instance. This is not an example of sin, but he was favored by his parents, right? He was hated by his brothers. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. But what if he would have been chained to that? What if he would have been chained to discouragement, to anger, to wrath, to bitterness, to hatred? But what did Joseph do? Joseph chose forgiveness, right? And he chose to go and be in this foreign land, and God used him mightily in this foreign land because he chose not to be chained to poor me. All these things happened to me. I mean, imagine your own siblings selling you into slavery. He had every right from our perspective to be bitter and angry and wrathful and unforgiving, and yet he didn't, because he looked at the big picture. And that's what we have to do. We cannot stay chained. We have a big picture ahead of us, above us, and we must look at that. In 1 Peter 2:11 through 12, Peter warns us of this, and I'm going to read it in the NLT because it simplifies the scripture and it helps us to understand it well. And Peter says, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world." That's a pretty big calling we have, isn't it? Do we think of that? Are we mindful? It's hard to stay bogged down in our chains when we think of that. Like, wow, like, I want my neighbors to see honorable behavior so that they give glory to God when he judges the world. They get saved, right? That's a big deal. Last week during group time, I told you about that 3-year-old little girl who was headed in for a heart transplant, little Rowan. Do you guys remember me talking about her? Well, I've been following her parents, their blogs on Instagram. And this little girl, as of last week when I came, she laid dying in a hospital bed. Her heart was just giving up. And she was in full heart failure. And I read her parents' blogs. My heart was just weeping for these parents as they sat there with their 3-year-old little girl. And watching their agonizing scene, seeing the rawness, and her parents are Christians. But here's one of the things her mom said. "What can I do aside from cry as I type? God has a plan that I don't know about. I have laid today at her side and begged the God I love to fix this somehow, anyhow he sees fit. We know if a new heart arrives, it will be him ordaining at the exact right time, though I still will fight for her actual heart healing. Today I wept endlessly for him to bring it, and be it his will, we are broken. And shortly after she wrote this, that heart was made available, and that heart was made available because some other grieving parents lost their child that night. And her father said this right before she went into surgery, and it's so sweet. He said, "To my Roe's heart, you were designed and perfected by his hands, ordered in the womb to beat in perfect time. In the silence, we heard you and rejoiced. When we first met, I pressed you up against my chest and rested in your rhythm. And I watched as you brought life to so many moments. I will miss you. With brokenness of this world strapped to your back, you carried her. A battle in every beat, and we are changed now forever, all of us. The pain will no doubt cease in time, but you will never be forgotten. No, we will never forget all you gave us and her. 3 long years you fought, and for 3 months we fought along with you. How proud I was of you and her health, but how honored I am in your sickness. For it is in this time that you shined, that you lived out your purpose. Hardened hearts were warmed, broken hearts mended, and there you stood firm. Stronger than any test would give credit, unchanging, immovable, like a lighthouse on a pitch black night, you guided countless home, always appointing praise to the one whose hands molded and shaped you. Your work is finished. You have my permission to rest, to sit, to lay, to beat your last. New heart, immeasurable gift, welcome to our family." And I thought, oh, they could have stayed chained to that heart. That was her daughter's precious heart. And yet the freedom of letting things go that just aren't working any longer, right? That freedom that comes. We can't live free and be chained. We just can't. They can't coexist. I can have literal shackles again, because that might be my calling, right? We might all be called to prison and be literally shackled someday like Paul, but we can't have figurative ones and live this free life that we have in Christ. So what has us chained? And I don't want to just leave this on like a very sad note, but I feel like the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, is just convicting us of this. I feel like we all have things that we're holding on to, that we're staying chained to, and I feel like we have to let those things go. And I want us to be like David when he had the freedom in Psalm 51 to lay down all that he had done right and just to be in right standing with God because he understood the adoration of the Lord finally, right? Finally, after his heart was breaking and breaking, he said this. In Psalm 51, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners shall be converted to you." So if this season, this Christmas time, has you feeling a little melancholy, which I know some people feel a little melancholy during the Christmas time, if you feel loss, if you feel sadness, if you feel alone, please, like, let us pray for you tonight. We're gonna all get to pray together tonight, but please don't feel alone. Please know that your sisters love you, and please let us pray for you and be courageous. Let God restore your joy. Let him remove your mourning garments. Let him reflect and rejoice in him because of his goodness. And I was reflecting a lot on Christmas earlier. You know, you look around, and lately I listened to a message today, and she talked a whole bunch about the manger, and it made me think a lot about Christmas and just that manger scene. And of course, we get all, you know, caught up sometimes in all the glitter and the fuss. And I do too. I could be a Christmas addict at times. But I was reflecting on the actual birth of Jesus, the actual literal birth of Jesus. It literally happened. Jesus was literally born, you know? And we have to tell ourselves, we have to remind ourselves, this is like an actual thing that happened. This is like the biggest miracle in the world. And when you think about all that went into that, right? Herod was on a rampage, right? He was like on a killing spur of male children, right? He wanted to get to that Messiah. He did not want the Messiah born, right? He did not want it. And despite that, Jesus was born. Our Savior was born, right? Herod was not more powerful than God. Nobody is. And think about Joseph and Mary through divine inspiration. What did they do, right? They followed the Holy Spirit into Bethlehem, right? And that's amazing. What if fear chained them down? What if they didn't go? What if fear chained them down? But it didn't, right? They were courageous. They followed the Lord. I think of Joshua and how courageous he was because he chose to obey God. And that's what Mary and Joseph did, right? They didn't let fear chain them down. Do you think that they might have been scared? Do you think that Mary, I mean, how old do they estimate Mary was? Maybe 15? Yeah, like a young girl. You think she might have been scared to be 9 months pregnant riding on a donkey? I think she might have been a little scared, but she didn't let that fear control her. She didn't let the fear chain her down. And then look at the wise men, right? They came from the east, right? They followed the stars because they were compelled by the Holy Spirit to go and to worship Jesus and to offer him these gifts, right? And they followed him. But what would have happened? Like, Herod expected them to go, right? Herod expected them to go, and he wanted them to come back and report or bring Jesus back, right? He said, deceptively, so I could worship him also. Right, we know Herod didn't want to worship him also, right? But the wise men got so caught up in worshiping Jesus, they said it was like they worshiped him with exceeding joy. I love that, exceeding joy. And that's where they offered him gifts, and they were warned by the Holy Spirit not to return, right? What if fear or adoration or loyalty to the king totally chained them down? That'd be bad news, right? But they didn't. They were courageous. They followed God, and they didn't stay chained down. And so we have this divine calling also. Each of us, you each have a divine calling on your life. We're divinely here by his appointment for such a time as this. It's our divine calling. And what if we just surrender it all and don't let anything chain us down? Like, we're going to go to heaven, right? So what is stopping us? What's stopping us from fulfilling that calling, like, completely, wholly, fully, not just sort of? We sometimes sort of fulfill our calling, right? We sort of host a dinner. We sort of do this. We sort of, what if we just are like, I'm giving it all. I'm surrendering it. If I die, I die. What if we just say, if I perish, I perish, right? What if we did that? What if we did that? And if you believe you aren't important to the kingdom, then you're chained because you are. Right? He didn't make you by mistake. So if you believe that, then you're chained and you need to get rid of that. Anyway, we look at Paul like this superhero, and we need to remember that Paul was just a man. The thing that made Paul so special is he was fully submitted to the Lord. Do you guys know of John Newton's story and how, you know, he wrote Amazing Grace? I'm going to read this to you briefly before we finish up, but I really like his story. But he was obviously from London in the 1700s, and he was the son of a merchant ship commander who sailed the Mediterranean. And when he was 11, he went to sea with his father and made all these voyages with his dad. His dad was a man of war, and basically his dad kind of left this, kind of gave him this baton, so to speak. But he didn't like the conditions on board the ship, so he found them intolerable. And it says he deserted the ship, and then they recaptured him and publicly flogged and demoted him from midshipman to common seaman. So I guess they didn't like or appreciate what happened to him. So basically, anyway, he was on a slave ship. He was a servant of a slave trader. He was brutally abused. But then they found out who his dad was, right? And they restored him when they found out who his dad was. And he was raised, his mom died when he was young, and she gave him some teaching of the Lord, but he hadn't accepted the Lord. And in 1948, he was having a big storm. He was in the midst of a big storm, a violent storm, and that's what he calls his great deliverance, right? He thought he was going to die. So basically, he calls that his great deliverance. He got saved right there, and he exclaimed, "Lord, have mercy upon us." And of course, God saved him from the storm, saved them from the storm. And I thought, that's amazing, and that's how God is. And he wrote one of our favorite songs. Does everyone love Amazing Grace? You guys want to say it? I'm not singing, but it's Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Yes, when this flesh and heart shall fail and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine. Corrie Ten Boom said, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at God, you'll be at rest, right? And that night of Jesus' birth could have been very stressful, couldn't it? Had Mary and Joseph just considered their environment, but instead they cherished God's plan and they followed God's plan. And that's what I'm asking all of us to do, is to get rid of the chains, cherish God's plan, look forward to God's plan, fulfill God's plan, seek God's plan wholeheartedly. And that's pretty much it. But I'm going to sit down because, like I said, I don't sing. But I would absolutely love it if you guys would all sing Silent Night. But let me pray first. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for your grace, Lord. Thank you, God, that we don't have to be bound to the chains of this world, Lord, the things that cause us to be disappointed and take our eyes off you. God, thank you, Lord, that you offer us freedom, God. So tonight, Lord, as we said the things that cause us to be chained, God, I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't forget that we surrendered those things to you, God. Help us not to take it back, Lord. I pray, God, that they would be a full surrender, God. And I ask, Lord, for you to bless each one of these ladies, just especially tonight, showing them of your goodness, of your presence, your love, and your favor towards them. In the name of Jesus, amen.